Welcome to the Women and Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Good morning, Esther. How are you?
Hi, Eric. I'm great. I'm really excited for our speaker this morning. I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Yeah, me too. I've had a chance to speak with her a little bit, and your guest is Nancy Paul, correct?
Yes, it is.
All right. And you've given me the pleasure of reading a little bio for her. Nancy Paul is a speaker, consultant, seminar leader, and creator of the College Treasure Chest, an online resource so families find more money for college faster, which is obviously a fantastic idea. And Nancy is also the best-selling author of The Little Book About Scholarships. So Esther, why did you bring Nancy on the show today?
Oh, I brought Nancy on to talk about a situation that we're confronted with very frequently as in the planning part of our service. Mm-hmm. We all know that college costs, oh my goodness, they are so high. And even, you know, I put myself through college, I don't know how many years ago that was, 25, 30 years ago. And even then I worked it through. It was okay, but I could not imagine being able to do that today. And financial aid is just not available to all families who are still having trouble with navigating their own expenses, planning for retirement, et cetera. So too often it can default to loans, and loans can affect one's ability once they get out of college to have enough to cover the loan. It can affect parents because of retirement. So it's just, I'm so grateful for Nancy being willing to guest and be here, because she is exactly the right person to address these issues of what do families do who don't qualify for financial aid but are confronting the high cost of college. So this is the focus of the conversation today. Nancy, good morning. So glad to have you join us.
Thank you so much, Esther. I'm glad to be here.
It's really good to have you. Let's start with, how did you find your way to this particular field of expertise?
It's truly one of those ideas of you are your own best client. My background's in public relations. I was working hard in the entertainment industry for celebrities and branding and such like that. And I have three daughters in 3 years. And we were doing all the right things. They were doing the right things to get into the right schools, quote unquote, right schools. And Rebecca was a senior. We had the private counselor. We had the high school counselor. And it was that day where we went to meet with the counselor, the private counselor, who gave us, proudly produced Rebecca's college list, the famous college list. And before I even looked at it, I just asked what I thought was just an obvious, easy answered question, which was, which of these schools is less expensive? And the counselor, who's super popular, hard to get into, looked at me like I had 15 heads and said she had no idea. And to this day, Esther, it's one of the most shocking responses I've ever had in my life to anything. And I couldn't fathom creating a list of schools you recommended to families with no consideration of cost. So I said, okay, well, what's this thing called a merit scholarship? I'd heard the term. I just thought I'd throw it out there and see what she had to say. And she proudly produced a list of two large databases and said it was really easy, which it was not. It took me 100 hours to figure out what to do, to find some for Rebecca. Kept doing it. In the end, after hundreds and hundreds of hours, my three girls were awarded $600,000 in merit scholarships, which is money for college based on achievement, not finances. And I was headed back to PR, and friends said, no, you've got 2 months into this, you understand it better than we will, and help us. And I did, and then that led one thing to the next. And one thing I'll say about it, one reason I keep going, to be honest with you, is that I went into it to try to find ways to pay less, at least give us some options. Divorced, you know, just wanted, I'm all about the plan B. And I felt really late in the game, which we were, and it was about the money for us.
Because Rebecca was
honestly,
Rebecca was already a senior, right?
She was a senior. She already had her college list. Yes.
Wow. So, I mean, to confront that, how were you able to? You went through, spent 100 hours, and then she was still able to get some merit aid.
Right. Right. So it was 100 hours the first time around. I don't say the true number because I don't think people would really believe me, but it was 100 hours the first time around. Looking for private scholarships. We already had our college list, which is an important part of this conversation, is there's institutional merit scholarships from colleges. That was kind of over with because we were looking at private scholarships because we were late in the game.
Yeah.
And she did win some institutional scholarships, but it wasn't like we could add more schools to that list at that point. And it's the private scholarships that really I want to encourage everyone to consider really young. But they started elementary school, as crazy as that might sound, and all the way through graduate school. And those are the ones your students can keep winning, keep pursuing, keep pursuing. I mean, there's definitely strategies all this time, and we'll talk about it. Sorry?
Yeah, we'll absolutely talk. There's so much to talk about here. One of the things, though, you bring up about, you know, they start really young. And in my role, when we're working on these plans with clients, and we bring up this issue about college, you know, and the kids are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. And they're like, we have no idea. And they understand that to save in, say, a 529 at least is important to do it early. But how do you target, you know, what type of school, what type of merit? So I'd love for you, how do you address that when the children are so young?
So certainly all the financial products and such that you recommend are really important. What we're talking about here is enhancing that, and that the strategies that I really recommend and watch my kids and my clients flourish on are the ones where they've been winning money for college based on their efforts, their achievements, their uniqueness, so they have skin in the game and all these other great benefits of that. So yes, all that's really important. Your advice is gold, so to speak, but literally, right? We're talking about doing the right things, whether it's the right volunteering, even when your kids are little, talking about grades, not overly oppressive, just grades are important, school is important, talking about college young. One of the biggest things is just age appropriately talking about cost and college and some are too expensive and how you're going to pay for it. Obviously, as the student gets older, the conversations get deeper. But one of the most massive mistakes on so many levels is waiting to have that conversation. I call it the talk, right?
Right.
Waiting to have that. So I've been in situations where I'm counseling a family, the students, sometimes twins, sometimes not. Somehow I often coach twins, but the students are seniors and they've already applied. And then the conversation comes up of how to pay for it. Then it comes up that some schools might be too expensive. Then there's this massive scramble to pursue more merit aid and, you know, other things. But you've already missed out on so many opportunities.
Yeah.
The education of it, qualifying for more, just having more choice. And I'm a huge advocate of choice.
So let's say I'm, if we think of a scenario, you know, I'm working with clients, you know, and this is true, clients right now who have children in the probably, I think they're like 4 and 2. And so let's say we're all sitting in a room and I said, hey, Nancy, what would be the, how would you talk about this with the parents in terms of this is where they are? What do they focus on in terms of, I love your, you know, skin in the game, you know, the merit, the achievement. How do you have that conversation with the parents when the children are that age?
So actually, that's an excellent question because the talk, the first talk is really between the two parents. When your kids, even having kids yet or not, what are you, the individual parents' views on college, paying for it? Lots of it's based on their own experiences, what they, choices they had, choices they didn't have, what they did right, with what they wish they had different. I've seen so many times in great, great marriages where they're not on the same page about this. So the first thing is for the parents to get clear. There's all kinds of values, as I'm sure you know. It could be some parents think certain schools are worth more. Some parents, I've got clients that no matter what the cost of college is going to be for their son, he's going to contribute 10%. And now whether that means a job or scholarships, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be 10%. So I'm not saying that's the best method, but every family ideally has a plan about it. So the first conversation is between the two parents. What are your values on college? Who pays for it? I've seen this, and there's so many options, and there's so many different perspectives on it, but it's really important to get clear on what you're going to communicate to the student, but to get clear within yourself first. So the earlier you start talking about it, the more you can really think about it. It's not right. necessarily an easy conversation or an easy decision. And I'm not saying you've got to decide now, yes, this school, that school, but just start talking about it within yourselves and then talk to your advisor, like you, Esther, about what to do on that side. And then talk about the idea that, you know, the youngest scholarship I've seen is for kindergartners. And that's
I know,
Google
and what
scholarship.
Is that? I don't, like, how does that it's, work?
It's a Google scholarship. It's for drawing. It's called the Doodle for Google. And it starts in kindergarten, goes all the way up. I'm not sure how you judge one doodle better than another, but that's the idea of it.
My goodness. So if just to role play this a tiny bit, let's say we're having sure. this conversation, I'll share with you things that I hear and how would you respond? So the parent at this age could say, yes, we really want our children to go to college. We also want to encourage them to go wherever it is they'd like to go. We want the best for them. And that, like, where would you take the conversation from there? That's basically some of the things that I hear.
Right. And in those words, there's a lot of loaded thoughts, which is best to some people means highest ranking.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Best can mean all kinds of things. It could also mean where the parent themselves went, which I've seen that happen a lot. I'm all about options. Yes, we want options. Best in quotes. If you could see me, I would have little quote marks. So best, yes. Best fit, which is all kinds of things, often including cost, I hope. Options are definitely using your services as well as setting the student up, knowing that you're going to have a conversation about trying to set the student up. Look, if they volunteer young, my daughter Rebecca in sixth grade was volunteering, all my kids did this, in a field they thought they might want to study. Mm. I'm not suggesting a sixth grader knows exactly what they're going to do for life. But just start doing things you like. Just experiment and get some hands-on experience in a very gentle, easy, enjoyable way. See what they gravitate towards. And then keep doing something that they love. Oftentimes, that can help a student, as they get older, narrow down college majors, narrow down career goals, switch, stay. The other part about volunteering early and getting involved in things early is that you have a much better track record, a much stronger resume, so to speak, for scholarships, for admissions, for internships, for jobs, for all of it. And mm-hmm. all of that is the content for essays, for admissions, for scholarships, for everything. And the biggest thing I'd say to everybody young is put your student environments of things they want to try. They may or may not be an athlete, maybe one sport over another, although key point here is sports is not the best way to win money for college. But let them try different things and see who they are and experiment young, which is a great thing to do in general. But I'm certainly all about it being authentically them. So I'm going to answer a question that I get asked a lot because I want to make sure that your listeners hear it, which is there is no perfect community service. There's no perfect activity. There's no perfect sport. It's all what's authentic to your student. What do they love? What do they care about? What will they stick with? It's not a certain number of community service hours, right? It's where can they make a difference and feel impactful and grow? And that's the ticket to more admissions, more money, and the best college fit and being ready for college.
I love what you're saying because it is a focus on the student and nurturing what they're inherently interested in and fostering that and prioritizing that. And I wonder if, do you come up with parents who are like, well, but they're supposed to be an engineer. They'll be safest if they take a career in computer science. They're supposed to be a lawyer or a doctor. And how do you address those types of things? Because I've had adult clients who have said, oh, I wish I had explored this sooner, but I was tracked in this certain way early on.
I do this a lot. First thing I'd say is, yes, I think that when you're going to major in something and you have a career in mind, I do think it's prudent to know what the career track would be. Yes, especially if you're going to go to a more expensive school. Yes, I think that's really important. But there's a lot of options within that. I will always advocate for the student, right? I mean, I won't alienate the parents. I understand their values. I will always consider that. But I will always advocate for the student being authentic. And the system I created to find more money, get into more schools, it's the wishes system. The W is, who is your student? Like, what do they care about? Who are they? What's the environment they're going to thrive in? And again, I'm not suggesting we know all this when they're really young. And it's definitely something to keep revisiting. But it's got to be them and their life. And yes, sticking to the family's values, I absolutely, positively. And the life lessons we want them to have, yes. But we need to certainly guide them to do productive things and, you know, healthy things and all of that. I'm not suggesting let them go wild, but it's who they are. We have to nurture who they are. I've got a client right now in a private coaching program that doesn't want to play lacrosse. And mom really wants him to play lacrosse. He doesn't want to. And guess what? He's not. We replace lacrosse now. Lacrosse isn't the magic ticket. No sport is. No activity is.
Yeah, and that happens so much, right? Students, it seems like, get to grades 11, 10, 11, 12, or maybe even earlier, but let's say 10, 11, and feel like this pressure to take all these AP courses, to do community service, to do multiple community service, all with the goal of getting into the quote-unquote right school, and end up stressed out, depressed, anxious. That certainly happened in this area, suicidal, where it's, you know, Silicon Valley, very, very, it looks, you know, very prosperous and a lot of achievement here.
And pressure.
And lots of pressure. It was the same way in my own high school, actually, as well. If you didn't get into an Ivy League school, well, gosh, I'm so sorry. Your life is over.
And the other part of that is, if your student gets into the Ivy League school and you don't send them because you don't want to pay $100,000 a year for it or $75,000, you're not a good parent, right? There's that side too.
Right.
I call it chasing the sweatshirt. So all of it's chasing the sweatshirt. You got to find the right fit for the student for the right reasons. And yes, I used to judge scholarships for UCLA. Yes, the student needs to do something to deserve the money. The merit scholarships are based on achievement, which means doing something, right? It's not about finances. And that doesn't mean, though, 15 projects, 15 APs, all of that. We need them to be healthy and productive and well-rested and happy. It's all keeping a good pulse on what is really going on for them. It's not a certain number of AP classes is the winning ticket. It's other things as well that enhance admissions and job satisfaction and college readiness and paying for it, all of it. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of this pressure comes from, well, we could talk for days about this, but there's a societal pressure that goes to the parents, it goes to the child. And I really doing everything I can in the shift in my business and to push back against that. Like, really, really please look at not overspending on college, not overtaxing your student, looking at who they are. There's lots of ways to get this right. And there's lots of pivots that can be made. But as far as the cost goes, it's really important to consider that before the college list happens. And as far as the win of it, it's not just all of a sudden in 10th or 11th grade, just going all in on lots and lots of activities. Because what that looks like to a scholarship judge is, oh, you paid a college advisor to tell you you weren't doing enough. So pedal the metal. You want to do things young enough. We're not saying massive things when they're young, but baby steps, so they can have more responsibility, more confidence, grow with the whole process, but not all of a sudden when they're in 11th grade.
Right. And I love, so I want to go deeper into that, because what you're talking about is communication, it is exploration, and it's communication with the family. So going back to the talk, you know, let's say my 2 and 4 year old, my clients with the 2 and 4 year olds, let's say now they are 8 and 10. And then they're going to be, you know, 14 and 16. Tell us more basically about this talk. How often do you recommend having it? Do you have a structure for it? When does it start involving the children, et cetera?
Such a great question. So there's an emerging number of states that are mandating financial literacy classes before students graduate high school.
Thank goodness.
We're in California. We're not one of them.
Right.
Right? One state, interestingly, and I'll get to your question, but this is fascinating to me. Arkansas has that. And now they're pushing to involve money conversations, financial literacy conversations in every academic subject. So it's not just on the fourth Friday of the month from 2 to 3, we're talking about money, right? It affects everything in life, right? So the same idea here. We're slow in the game here in California, but within our families, money doesn't just have to be talked about when it comes to college. Money in general, values in general.
Yes.
I'm not saying I did that early enough, and I certainly wasn't done in my family, so I'm not saying I've got that totally mastered. But when it comes to college, just the idea young, certain schools are more expensive, certain restaurants are more expensive, certain shoes are more expensive. And within the parents themselves, it really starts there with this pressure and pushing back that the most expensive school your student gets into, the highest ranking school they get into, may or may not be a fit for them or for you for all kinds of reasons. We talked about college debt. We know it's at heading up to $1.7 trillion. Mm-hmm. And there's 44,000 American students that have it. But the growing number of debtors is people over 50. They're at $90 billion. As you said, that money's come from retirement, working longer, their savings. It's not really a joke that more parents could end up on their kids' sofas, right? Because so much has gone into the students. We're trying to teach financial literacy for the whole family, young enough so there's wise choices that can be made and options. And money is not just something we talk about only applying to college. I know you counsel around that, but we also talk about it with college, that some things are just too expensive or worth more, or I talk a lot about applying to target, reach, and safety colleges. College counselors talk about it for admissions, right? Mm-hmm. Do you want me to explain what that is, or do you know?
Well, I don't know target. I understand reach and I understand safety. So maybe just go over them briefly. That would be great.
So high school and private counselors talk about target, reach, and safety for admissions because you don't want to be in a situation where Johnny's applied to a bunch of schools and gotten into none. And you also don't want Johnny to underapply. So we have Johnny apply to target, reach, and safety schools for admissions. The reach would be you could get in. It's probably not likely based on all the factors, but you could. Or it's a dream school and you want to try and just see what happens. Maybe your community service will carry you over or something else, a hardship. It could. It's a reach. Target would be almost like a bullseye. Like if you looked as an outsider, you're all lined up. It should just be an absolute fit. Not under, not over, a really good fit. And then safety would be, I never say it is because there's no sure thing. It really should be that Johnny's going to get into that school. That really shouldn't be an issue at all. He's overqualified, right? But the thing about that is the schools that Johnny's overqualified for are the ones who are going to give him the most money, not the ones he squeaks into. So I really encourage families, yes, target, reach, and safety schools for admissions. But please, if you take away nothing from this call, target, reach, and safety for college costs also. And there's different roadmaps that I've created depending what your goals are. But the bottom line is, please make sure your student applies to schools that you can most easily afford.
And with that brings up the discussion about community colleges, which I think are fabulous. I know, again, going back to my own experience in high school, and then I've talked to my associate Eric's experience too, our schools both gave the same messages. If you go to community college, it's again, oh, I'm so sorry, you're just not very successful. And I think it's a terrible message because I've got so much out of my community college education. Again, I didn't start college till I was almost 22 because I did have to pay for it myself. But if you can speak about that in terms of community college,
people's
attitudes
great,
about it.
Yes, it's a great option for so many reasons. Financially, some students just aren't ready emotionally in every way to go to college to make the most of it. Other family obligations, sick parent, whatever it might be, there's lots of reasons. Yeah. Community college is a great choice. Get rid of some of the, what do you call it, like the general classes. It's a great, especially if you don't know what you want to do or where you want to go.
Right.
Especially that. we want to make use of it, though. I mean, you know, still try, still work hard at it. Still, it's a stepping stone. It's not a pass. You're still on your college education, your life education. Community college is a great option. It's a great option. What I don't like to see happen, and happened, one of the most upsetting stories ever happened a couple years ago in our neighborhood. A mom called. Her daughter had gotten into her dream school, which was Princeton. And the college counselor only had expensive colleges on that list. The mom said to me, the words were, when my daughter applied to college, we were keeping up with the Joneses. She applied where all her friends applied, but our family, that's mom's talking, didn't have the means. So yes, it's awesome she got into Princeton, but there was nothing other than that and all these expensive schools. And I think she got to some other high-ranking schools as well. But she ended up at community college because there's nothing else in that. Now, community college is awesome for all kinds of reasons. But I think we can say that if that young lady got into Princeton, she probably would have thrived at other schools as well. Please just go for options. Apply to a range of schools and costs, a range for admissions. And it's this whole societal pressure. A lot of it is societal pressure that we then ingest of you're not a good parent, your student's not smart enough, you don't care about them enough. All of this. I've heard people say to someone I care about that their parents didn't care about them enough because they didn't go to private high school and then expensive college. Mm-hmm. That's a terrible message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really unfortunate because I know in what it can lead if it's not being talked about, and that's why I appreciate so much your encouragement around this talk and how how it can help people navigate that talk, is that then parents don't talk about what they can't afford also. And then there's assumptions that happen, right? Where students just assume that they're going to be going to XYZ college, or like in that example of your client who said, well, she got in, but you know what? I can't afford it. How do you manage just that other part for the parents of their shame about not being able to keep up with the Joneses?
That's what I was going to use. Unfortunately, this family wasn't my client. They came way too late to this. And I gave her advice on how to find private scholarships. And I was as upset as she was on the phone. It happens all the time where parents call in the spring where students have gotten to great schools, great in quotes again, that they can't afford. And they want to somehow magic wand that they'll be able to close that $50,000 a year gap before that tuition payment's due. It's not possible. We don't want to get in that situation. Right. I mean, it is shame. And the other problem is that I think there's so much pressure on parents to keep up with the Joneses, to send your student to the quote unquote highest ranking school they get into, that the shame creeps into procrastination and not wanting to deal with this because it's overwhelming and you feel badly and you feel guilty that you can't keep up with the skyrocketing cost of college. Even during right now, this pandemic, there's many, many schools raising their prices. We cannot keep up with the cost of college. It keeps going up. Mm-hmm. Sorry?
No, I mean, I just find that so surprising because I would think that fewer people are interested in going since so much of it has been online. And it feels like, what am I paying all this money for to have Zoom?
Well, that's right. That's a big question. And there's been lots of pushback on schools that didn't lower the price when it went down, when it went online. I've also heard some colleges in the media being quoted as saying that they're going to give more financial aid, which is based on demonstrated financial need. They want to help more families. They know more parents are struggling. So they're going to give more need. And the way they're going to do that is to raise the price for everybody else who they think can afford it. Mm-hmm. And you touched on it, and I just want to get back to it because it's really important. There is a massive difference between not qualifying for demonstrated financial need based on a formula and paying $100,000 a year for school.
Right, exactly. Right?
There's a massive range in there. So when people say the idea you can't pay for college, what college are we talking about? And there's just so much. I say that parents have the blame and the burden for the skyrocketing cost of college that's so out of control. And the other problem, the other reason I do what I do, is I was so frustrated and angry that the information I spent hundreds of hours gathering for my kids was so hard to find. Like, why isn't this not taught? We talk a lot about the FAFSA and how to qualify for demonstrated aid. But what about this other part of giving our kids opportunities to win money based on who they are, which has many benefits beyond the money, and also as a solution for those of us who don't qualify for need Why is that not more of the conversation? I've heard of situations where college counselors have told auditoriums are full of parents saying, listen, get in first, do that first, cost later. That's just backwards. You wouldn't.
Right.
It's just backwards.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, what kind of lesson is that? The lesson we want to pass to our kids? We'll buy the big house and then figure out how to manage the mortgage, property taxes, and insurance later. It's just,
and that's where you have more debt and more regret. I call it, you know, less debt, less regret if you plan ahead.
So we're just about to the end of our time, Nancy. I feel like we could go easily more. I just love your approach of this conversation and ongoing conversation.
Your questions.
Yeah, about who the, thank you, because it's so engaging. Who are these children? So I have one last question for now, which is, what about those parents who won't accept their child not going to one of the quote unquote right schools, but also can't afford that right school? I think you've had a situation where that's been brought to your lap as well.
Yes. I mean, certainly the earlier we have this conversation, the better. And the earlier you meet with your financial advisor on this, the better. I've watched it happen so many times. Some families will have to take on student debt. I'm not going to say they don't. And definitely the less, the better. And there's so many different conflicting strategies on this, but we need to protect parents' retirement. They need to give their kids important life lessons. We want our kids to launch. It's not just about getting to college. It's not even about paying for it. We need them to launch. And that includes financial literacy and not being crippled by what they've spent on college. Mm-hmm. I know people who spent so much and have massive debt still in my older years for undergrad, but they went to a graduate school that, I mean, that's the other part of the equation is conversation about graduate school. What's going to happen with that? Because our kids won $600,000 in merit scholarships, as we said. They couldn't take it all because some was from multiple schools. But every dollar gave us more choice. And because we paid less for college, we could then help them with an apartment when their first job wasn't massive amounts of money, right? Or a nicer wedding or whatever it would be. It's so easy to get consumed in the here and now. But we need to look into the future. What lessons you're teaching, how you pay for college is as important as how much you pay for college.
Right. And I also love the last thing is I know that, and you had mentioned at the beginning, you were divorced navigating this. Mm-hmm. And so many divorce agreements, I don't know if I've seen any ever a divorce agreement that really spells out how college is going to be handled. So you have that conversation that needs to happen between spouses, let alone between ex-spouses. I know you and your ex-spouse had a good relationship, but different, I think, different approaches, or am I wrong in that?
Somewhat different approaches on the money part, but ultimately we valued all of it. We really valued options and looking at our kids. I feel fortunate. I hope my kids feel fortunate. We looked at them as individuals, right choices for one was not for the other. Sorry, three daughters, but three very different people. But I think all of us, if we really look deep, if we went to college or didn't and wanted to, there's things differently that I wish had been happening in my college planning. Yep. I went to an awesome school, but it wasn't the right one for me. Mm. So I think we all come with our stories, and that's part of this conversation. It's a big conversation, but it can't start late. It's got to start early.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy. And I know you have resources that you have available to offer. Can you speak about those?
Yes, thank you. This has been awesome. You've asked the most amazing questions, so thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Your audience is lucky to have you. So I do have a free video series. It's called How to Pay Less for College, Even If You Earn Too Much for Financial Aid. 4 10-minute videos that'll get you thinking about this early enough. Even if you have younger children, the whole idea of what to do young, yes, I want you to apply for private merit scholarships you're a student to in kindergarten. But with that, just if you want to just get an idea of what's down the horizon, so you're less stressed, less overwhelmed, and get a better handle with more options later, I recommend the video series. And in that, you can also, if you chose, invest in the college treasure chest. But even not, the 4 videos will really get you started and thinking about how to pay less for college. And what I want to say again is it's never too early and you don't earn too much. And it's one thing I'm asked all the time. But no, your finances have nothing to do with whether your student wins merit scholarships.
Thank you so much, Nancy. It's been wonderful to have you, and I hope we will do another one because there's still so much to talk about here. But thank you for just this focus. I agree with you. I don't know why, again, this is not talked about more, because it's a win-win. It's a win for the students, not just in terms of attainment of an education, but also full development of who they are as people, which can only help in their full life maturity and development and contribution. So thanks for your advocacy and all you do in this area.
Thank you so much. And can I just give a place for people to get that video series? I forgot to mention.
Oh, yes. That would be good.
I skipped that. It would be at www.nancypaul.com/paylessforcollege. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Nancy.
I will tell you what, this is exactly why podcasts have rewind buttons. Right? Because there's so much information in here that people are going to need to listen to this more than once, at least in my opinion. Nancy, you did a fantastic job. I just have one other question. Where can people find the book, the little book about scholarships?
Amazon.
I've kind of figured that might be your answer, but I just want to make sure. All right.
You.
Nancy, thank you so much for being on. Esther, thank you so much for bringing her on the show. Again, timely subject. I mean, everybody needs to be thinking about it as early as possible. And I know this podcast is going to be coming out well before people need to be thinking about it. Go take advantage of those resources. She's offering that video series up for free. That is fantastic. And of course, our last thank you always goes to you, the listening audience. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it really easy to share these podcasts with your friends and family. And again, this is a great one to share. If you have friends or family members that have kids, they've got to be planning. So share this one with them, please. They'll thank you. Thanks for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.